Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, we turn unto thee again in this afternoon hour. We are thankful for the opportunity to gather in thy house, and we pray, O Lord, that as thy holy word is open before us, that our hearts also would be opened unto thee, that we would be diligent to lift our souls unto thee, to open ourselves to the light of thy word and thy instruction, that thou would grant unto us, Lord, that which we need for our souls, for the inner man, to be fed and nourished in the ways of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Guide us as we meditate, and we pray that thy Holy Spirit would instruct and convict, guide and correct as only thou canst do, Lord, for as mere men we can do nothing. But Lord, with thee all things are possible, and so in faith we turn to thee, trusting and believing, Lord, in what thou can provide. And we do pray these blessings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I would like to read this afternoon with the help of the Lord from the book of 2 Chronicles. Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles, from chapters 28 and 29, a few verses. We'll begin with chapter 28, verse 24. And Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God, and cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God, and shut up the doors of the house of the Lord, and he made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem. And in every several city of Judah he made high places to burn incense unto other gods, and provoked to anger the Lord God of his fathers. Now the rest of his acts and of all his ways, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Ahaz slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city, even in Jerusalem. But they brought him not into the sepulchres of the kings of Israel. And Hezekiah, his son, reigned in his stead. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street. And he said unto them, Hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken him, and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs. Also they have shut up the doors of the porch, and put out the lamps, and have not burned incense nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. Wherefore, the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he delivered them to trouble, to astonishment and to hissing, as ye see with your eyes. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. Now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that ye should minister unto him and burn incense. Then the Levites arose, Mahath the son of Amasai, and Joel the son of Azariah, of the sons of the Kohathites, and of the sons of Merari, Kish the son of Abdi, and Azariah the son of Jehaliel, and of the Gershonites, Joah the son of Zimmah, and Eden the son of Joah, and the sons of Elizaphan, Shimri, and Jeiel, and of the sons of Asaph, Zechariah, and Mattaniah, and of the sons of Heman, Jehiel, and Shimei, and of the sons of Jeduthun, Shemaiah, and Uzziel. And they gathered their brethren, and sanctified themselves, and came, according to the commandment of the king, by the words of the Lord, to cleanse the house of the Lord. And the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it, and brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord into the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it to carry it out abroad into the brook Kidron. Now they began on the first day of the first month to sanctify. And on the eighth day of the month came they to the porch of the Lord. So they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days. And in the 16th day of the first month, they made an end. Then they went into Hezekiah the king and said, we have cleansed all the house of the Lord and the altar of burnt offering with all the vessels thereof, and the showbread table with all the vessels thereof. Moreover, all the vessels which King Ahaz in his reign did cast away in his transgression, have we prepared and sanctified, and behold, they are before the altar of the Lord. Then Hezekiah the king rose early and gathered the rulers of the city and went up to the house of the Lord. And they brought 7 bullocks and 7 rams and 7 lambs and 7 he-goats for a sin offering for the kingdom, and for the sanctuary, and for Judah. And he commanded the priests, the sons of Aaron, to offer them on the altar of the Lord. So they killed the bullocks, and the priests received the blood and sprinkled it on the altar. Likewise, when they had killed the rams, they sprinkled the blood upon the altar. They killed also the lambs, and they sprinkled the blood upon the altar. And they brought forth the he-goats for the sin offering before the king and the congregation, and they laid their hands upon them. And the priests killed them, and they made reconciliation with their blood upon the altar, to make an atonement for all Israel. For the king commanded that the burnt offering and the sin offering should be made for all Israel. And he sent the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals and psalteries and with harps, according to the commandment of David and of Gad, the king's seer, and Nathan the prophet. For so was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. And the Levites stood with the instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets. And Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets, and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. And all the congregation worshipped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded, and all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when they had made an end of the offering, the king and all that were present with him bowed themselves and worshipped. Moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. And they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshipped. Then Hezekiah answered and said, Now ye have consecrated yourselves unto the Lord. Come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord. And the congregation brought in sacrifices and thank offerings, and as many as were of a free heart, burnt offerings. And the number of the burnt offerings which the congregation brought was 70 bullocks, 100 rams, and 200 lambs. All these were for a burnt offering to the Lord. And the consecrated things were 600 oxen and 3,000 sheep. But the priests were too few, so that they could not flay all the burnt offerings. Wherefore, their brethren the Levites did help them till the work was ended, and until the other priests had sanctified themselves. For the Levites were more upright in heart to sanctify themselves than the priests. And also the burnt offerings were in abundance, with the fat of the peace offerings and the drink offerings for every burnt offering. So the service of the house of the Lord was set in order. And Hezekiah rejoiced, and all the people, that God had prepared the people, for the thing was done suddenly. May God bless the reading of his word. Dear ones, we seldom read from the book of Chronicles, but there's much that we can glean from its pages and the account that is given in history. Even the New Testament teaches us that the things that were written in the Old Testament were written for our admonition in the New, that we would not lust after evil things as those who had gone before us at times did. And before we get into some of the details of what is written here, because it is something that we don't often read about, it may interest you to know what the book of Chronicles is about. The book of Chronicles speaks about all of the kings of Israel, from the first king of Saul, and then we remember David and Solomon. Those are the kings that we often learned about in Sunday school. And in their time, the 12 tribes of Israel were all united. They were together under one king. But after Solomon's son, Rehoboam, came to the throne, he was choosing to follow his peers and their advice instead of the advice and counsel of those who were seasoned, experienced, and much wiser than himself. And because of his impatience and recklessness, the country was plunged into a civil war, and the 12 tribes separated, 10 tribes to the north and 2 tribes to the south, Judah and Benjamin. And they took on different kings. The capital of Israel, which was the 10 tribes in the north, was the city of Samaria. The capital of the tribe in the kingdom of the south was Jerusalem. The kings of the northern 10 tribes were always evil. There was not a single good king. And yet God often pleaded with them and sent them some of the most powerful prophets of the Old Testament, like Elijah and Elisha, that did their work oftentimes in the northern kingdom of Israel. Kingdom of Judah, the story of their kings was different. Sometimes they would have a good king that would lead them to the Lord, and sometimes they would have an evil king. Sometimes they would have a king that would listen to their brethren up in Israel and start following their practices and the patterns of worship that they were adopting. You see, one of those kings was Ahaz. He's an evil king. He was listening to his brethren up in Israel, who were always evil and always turning away from the Lord. And it says here that they closed the temple. Not only did Ahaz not want to worship in the temple, but he closed it off from the priests, he closed it off from the people, and he said, here, I've got something better for you. I'm going to build places of incense and places of sacrifice for you in a very convenient location. You're not going to have to go far. It'll be just around the corner. And oftentimes this comes up in the book of the Chronicles as kings try to figure out, how can I get more following from the people? How can I meet their needs or kind of compromise with them? And unfortunately, they often compromise the worship that God had prescribed. And so that's what Ahaz does. And he cuts apart the vessels from the house of God. In following the example of the northern tribes of Israel. Well, before the end of the book, actually in the time of Hezekiah, the kingdom of Israel would be conquered and scattered by the Assyrians. Nation would come in, would take them over, and displace them and scatter them all over the world. And this is something that God had promised them. He told them when they entered the land and when Moses brought them in. Remember when they crossed the Jordan River and they were going to inherit the land? The Lord warned them and gave them a word to follow, a means of worship. And now we know and understand that all of that was established in order to point to Christ. And they were told and commanded to follow in it. And if they would, God promised them blessing and peace and security from their enemies. And if they neglected it, if they left off the worship that God had prescribed, he said that they would be scattered and they would be conquered and taken and they would not have their home. That there would be consequences for not listening. For not heeding the warnings. And in the time of Hezekiah, when Hezekiah is ruling in the southern kingdom of Judah, Assyria comes and swoops in, takes those 10 tribes of Israel, and scatters them abroad. Within a few generations after that, the kingdom of Judah is also taken by the Babylonians. And that's where 2 Chronicles ends, the last kings. And if you would take the time to read through all of the things that had happened, it's actually a very frustrating read. Because you see kings that do well and you see kings that do poorly. And as I read it, and encourage you to read it also, there is something missing. There is something that this should be drawing us to. We need to keep in mind that the history of the people of Israel is not just facts and figures and a history, but it is a story of God's people, but it's a story also that's showing us how God worked and would eventually lead to the true king. Jesus himself spoke of a kingdom, the kingdom of God, and that was often a topic of his preaching. And as you read from Chronicles, the good and the bad, it's making me long for a good king. It's making me long for something better. And we find that. We find the fulfillment of God's great promises in Jesus Christ. He is establishing a kingdom. Not in the circles of land and resources. But he is seeking to establish a kingdom within the hearts of men, within your heart, within my heart, that he would have sway or that he would have the influence. There's many people who want to influence, and the world doesn't hide it, that they even call them influencers. Who is my influence? Who is my ruler? Who is my king? Who says, this is what you should do, this is what you should not do? And is obeyed because he has authority. Jesus is a king, and he is a good king. And his laws, his teachings, his character are for our good and will draw us to God. Just like Hezekiah is seeking to do with the people of Israel, he's seeking to draw them to God. And he's categorized as a good king. And so, as we read about Hezekiah, as we see the things that he does, it should be on our hearts and minds to be drawn to Christ, to see what is it that it says here that I should take within my heart as I seek to pursue the Lord and follow him and serve him. It says here in chapter 29, as we begin Hezekiah's reign, that he began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old. That sounds quite young to be entrusted with the authority of being king and ruling over an army and a nation. But he wasn't the youngest. There were some younger, there were some older. But this was the time. This was the time that he was called upon. This was the time that he was born for. And my friend, you were born for a reason, for a time. And Jesus Christ's word is calling to you that the kingdom of God is at hand. And the invitation is given to you to open your heart and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, and be a part of his kingdom, to follow his ways, and to embrace him as king and ruler solely over you. And he promises each and every one who would follow in that way and heed that invitation, those precious promises that we read of this morning. The invitation is given. Do you know that God will hold you accountable for how you respond? Do you know that God is watching? Do you know that many are praying? Hezekiah began to reign at a particular time in his life. He was given the choice of how he was going to lead the people. And one thing that stands out very strongly here is that it says that he began to speak to them in the first year of his reign. In the first month, he calls upon the priests and the Levites to clean the house of the Lord, to open up its doors, that people could come in, that they could worship the Lord, that they could bring the sacrifices into God's house, that they could bring the tithes and follow in the way of worship that God had prescribed. He began that, it says, in the first year and in the first month. If we look carefully, read in verse 17. It gives a little bit more detail about when these priests started to work. It says, "Now they began on the first day of the first month to sanctify." Hezekiah wasted no time. There was a sense of urgency in his heart to do what he knew was right. And my friend outside of Christ and brothers and sisters, the word is calling on us to have a sense of urgency, to diligently seek after the Lord, to lean in to the promises that he has given and the teachings that he has established, to listen to the words and the teachings of Jesus Christ, and not to delay. Not to wait for tomorrow and say it's going to be easier. Oh, I need to read a little bit more. No, you have an understanding. And you're going to be responsible for that understanding. It's time to strike while the iron is hot. That's when you can get some motion and some movement, the blacksmith knows, out of the metal. Don't wait until your heart is hardened by sin and excuses, because Satan will supply them. He does so every day. But have a sense of urgency to make the choice that Hezekiah did, that in your heart and your life, in your sphere of influence, you're going to want to influence in a way that brings closer to God, in a closer fellowship. And you will never get any closer than the teachings of Jesus Christ. than the love that Jesus displayed upon the cross. You don't need to go far. The word, the scripture says, is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, that if thou wilt believe in thy heart, this word of faith that we preach by the gospel, you know what is right, but you're being called to have the sense of urgency, like Hezekiah did, not to delay, but on day one, when you come under the conviction and the knowledge that you have a choice, that you can relate to somebody in this chapter. You know, you are in the position of the king. You make the choice for your life. Jesus will not coerce you. He will not force you. He is looking for hearts that are fully yielded and ready to give him our all. No matter what that kingdom up north is doing, Hezekiah knew what the Lord expected of him and began on day one to follow through. His first instruction to the priest was to clean up the house of God. See, it had gone into disrepair. The doors were closed. It was dusty in there. They needed to do some cleaning. And it reminds me of Jesus Christ. Look in, just to refresh my memory, in the Gospel of John. Yes. Gospel of John, chapter 2. What did Jesus do first when he came to Jerusalem? His job was to cleanse the temple. He knew that what was going on there was a perversion and a distortion of what God was expecting of the people. It was a noisy parade of animals and changing of money. There was no peace of God. And there needed to be a cleansing. And Jesus, in his teaching, in all of the synagogues, preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He is calling you, my sinner friend, to a cleansing, to a turning away from the filthiness of your life, for me also, to be purged, to be cleansed, and to turn away. That's what that word repentance means. To turn around, to have a change of heart and a change of mind, and to choose differently. Now, what's interesting here is we often hear the command to repent, and so many people could give a testimony. You know, I heard, I knew what I needed to do, and then I tried on my own, tried to fix a little bit here, a little bit here, tried to clean up the temple, speaking of the inner man, and I found I failed. I failed miserably. And I was humbled by that experience, and I realized I needed to turn to the Lord and ask for his help. You know what? You see the same pattern here in Hezekiah. You see, Hezekiah had the authority to come and tell the army. Just like today, somebody might have a big task to do and they bring in the National Guard and they can get a job done really fast because they obey orders. But Hezekiah knew that this was the job of the priests. This was the job of the one who intercedes for the people. They could go into the house of God. Now, bring that to today. You can't do it on your own, and neither can I. We can't change our ways and clean up our act and make ourselves presentable and ready as a place of worship and a home for the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, though, you must be born again. It is by faith and the operation of God that he changes us. That he changes our hearts and what we love and what we embrace and who we follow. And by his operation, he makes the changes. He does that work of purifying in our hearts, things that we think we could never overcome. And Jesus is able to. Put it in the hands of the one in whom it belongs. Turn it over to the Lord, this work of purifying in your heart. Saul did that. Remember Saul? He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was a Pharisee, and he thought he was serving God uprightly. But Jesus wanted to teach him how many things he must suffer for Christ's name's sake. When you turn things over to Jesus, be ready. Be ready. There is an earthly price to pay. But as we read this morning, the word testifies and assures our hearts over and over again that the things that can be gained in this world pale in comparison to the eternity and the peace with God, salvation and living in his presence, being able to worship him as he would tabernacle with us. Put it in the Lord's hands. Ask him for his help. Explain the situation. This is what I see. This is what is wrong. I don't have the means to cleanse myself. I need a Savior. Yes, you need a Savior. And John the Baptist spoke of Jesus Christ and said, "Here is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And this is what happens next in the story. They come back to Hezekiah. They had cleaned the house of the Lord. They're ready to worship. They're ready to bring the sacrifices. And the very first thing that needs to get taken care of is sin. And so Hezekiah establishes and sends bullocks and rams according to the pattern of the Old Testament as first an offering for sin. And then that purification is made. And then later they come and invite the people, bring in the thank offerings. Don't get those two confused. My friend, you might be trying to do something good. You might be trying to gain some favor with God. You might be trying to get closer or more acceptable to the Lord. You know, leave those. Those are thank offerings. That's not going to cleanse you of your sin. That's not going to justify you before God, who is holy and righteous. We have one means of cleansing, and it is not the blood of sheep and goats and oxen, but the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. He has brought in and established a new covenant upon his blood, whereby we can enter into relationship with God and come before his throne seeking for his grace and forgiveness. That is the way. And it's interesting just to see how many times in the Old Testament this pattern goes. When David, he had numbered the people and sinned greatly, angel came and was destroying the people, and he wanted to bring a sacrifice. First, he gave an offering for sin, and then thank offerings. We can't switch the two. We can't bring works of our own, expressions of appreciation or honor to God to deal with our sin. No, only the blood of Christ has made a way for us to be cleansed and made a way, my friend, even for you. If you would hear the word of the gospel that is even spoken of in the echoes of the Old Testament as we see it pointing to Christ. But let's also remember, let's keep that order correct, that because of what Jesus has done, because of the love that he has shown to us, we also love him and bring forth the thanksgiving. Bring forth ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. Not that it does anything to pay for our sins or what we owe unto the Lord. But because he has loved us, and because, as even as we heard this morning, he's filled our hearts with the joy and expectation of eternal life, It's no great sacrifice to lay down everything for him and ask him, Lord, here am I. Here's my things. Here's my time. It's all for you. At the close of this first chapter of Hezekiah's life, Hezekiah looked and he sees an amazing transformation has taken place. The people and the temple were so far from God when Ahaz was ruling. They were far away from his worship, but something changed. We see in this last verse who we can give credit for the change. It says, Hezekiah rejoiced, and all the people, they rejoiced as well, that God had prepared the people, for the thing was done suddenly. You have to admit, there are things that happen to us in life that come upon us suddenly. Oh, we would love to prepare for them. We would love to study up and get ready for just the perfect response. But it doesn't always work that way. Despite us, God is preparing us. Despite our unthankfulness and our unworthiness, God is preparing you and me for the next step of faithfulness to the Lord, of drawing near to Jesus Christ and surrendering him our all. It's my hope and prayer that this word would inspire us to that end and that God would instruct us and that we with joy would serve the Lord and come into his presence with singing. Amen.